Instagram or Twitter or X and Meta, whatever it's called now. I mean, imagine what they could have done today with, like, the ability to spread that kind of outrage. You see, what the Pharisees care about is not the Sabbath. They care about public opinion. They care about swaying things to their side and holding on to their power. It was precious to them. They do not care about God's word. They do not. They only use it as a weapon against other people, to convince people how much better they are, how much holier they are than everybody else. Just like the way that people use social media today, right? It's the grass is greener on the other side syndrome. Always trying to convince people that our lives are so much better than theirs. How the Pharisees operated is completely familiar to us. Who has not been the sufferer of a sanctimonious co-worker who would never in a million years send their child to public school? Who would never feed their child corn syrup or let their child watch a Disney movie, as awful as they are today, I suppose. And they are. They're pretty bad. I mean, who hasn't hesitated to put up a political sign in their yard because they're afraid of what their neighbors may think or do to them? Worse yet, who hasn't felt that anger, that dark anger, when pulling up at a stoplight behind somebody only to see that bumper sticker, right? Of the loathed political party, right? Never talk to that person ever in life, right? They see one thing, two words about a person, and we completely judge. We are victims of the outrage that simulates righteousness for attention. We have to endure all of the stupid virtue signaling and the cancel culture that's all around us. We have to put up with it, but we are also perpetrators. Do not fool yourself. We judge others and we give in to anger. Repent. Repent. Christ himself has loved you to the end. He loved you before the foundation of the world. He has the right to be ashamed of us, and yet he is unashamed of you. He loves you to the end. Now, we do not know where this man with the withered hand comes from. We just know that we meet him with Christ in the synagogue. But as St. Mark reports it to us, the Lord calls him without any request of this man. The Lord calls him without anything. Come, Christ says to him, come. Jesus sees him, has compassion on him, called him out of the crowd, and he heals him. That's what the Lord does for this man. This is exactly what the Lord has done for each and every one of you. The exact same thing. He has called you, brought you to himself. He has healed you. He has forgiven you, loved you. Walk, therefore, in a manner worthy of that calling from the Lord himself. Walk in a manner that is worthy of that calling. Actually, be lowly and humble with each other. Be patient with each other. As hard as it is, be patient with. I know this. Like, this is one of my vices. I am not patient. I am not a patient man. Be long-suffering. Bear with one another. Don't let self-righteous outrage take a hold of you. Bear one another. Bear with one another. Bear one another, too. And do it in love. Because you've first been loved. Let light shine out of dark. Let light shine out of the darkness that was your heart. Let the light of Christ shine out of you. Now, I am called to give you spiritual counsel. That counsel often takes the form of practical advice. Right? If you come up to me and talk with me about this or that, it often comes in the way of practical advice. Outrage really is the emotion that seems to be reigning in our society right now. Outrage at pretty much about anything you can think of. Everybody seems to be outraged. Everybody's upset. Everybody is festering in wrath. Right? Our schools, you know, what do we do about our schools? They're oftentimes war zones, by the way. Right? Our workplaces with all the DEI silliness going on, right? Right? The cost of living, outrage at politics all over the world, right? And wars. Wars, or if you prefer, proxy wars, right? Same thing. Don't even get me started on politics right here in our own nation, right? It's a mess. It's a mess. One word. Outrage. On pretty much both sides. And so I have some advice for you today regarding this outrage. And I know that media, social or otherwise, doesn't cause outrage, right? Doesn't cause outrage any more than hanging out with your bar hopping friends causes you to be drunk. But it is often a contributing factor. And is not good influence on the followers of Christ. Now hear this. This is not doctrine. This is advice, right? But I believe that if you hear and you heed it, your mental health, your spiritual health is going to be better than about 95% of the people in our nation. And more importantly, it's going to help you to steer clear of the temptation to outrage and fear, both of which lead to death. Number one, stop watching TV and internet news. They are not good for you, right? They are not actually telling you anything important. Not anymore, they're not. Right? What they're doing is pandering to, quote, their audience, right? They are pandering to you for one thing and one thing only. Viewership. And you know why they want viewership? For advertising dollars. For money, right? Or, you know, clicks on the internet or whatever. Right? Advertisers pay more money the more people, period. Right? The news corporations don't care about truth anymore. And as such, Christians shouldn't care about the garbage that these corporations shove down our throats every single day. They are not telling you useful things. I promise you that, right? They're not helping you to be more informed voters, right? There may have been a time when this was the case, but it is not that way anymore. In fact, and this is proven, being pumped full of this constant stream of filth, this garbage, is actually hindering your ability to discern between significant things and trivial things, right? And the way that they talk about really small, insignificant, stupid things with such fervor and force, right? As if they're so important because, you know why they do this, because there's nothing else to report on, right? There's nothing significant to talk about, and so they pump up all the insignificant stuff. It's hurting us. As a culture, as a nation, it's damaging us, right? They're selling a product. They don't care about the quality. Moreover, it's probably pumping you full of all sorts of false morality of the current culture and the present age. Now, of course, it's not a sin to watch the news, right? It's not a sin. But ask yourself this, and this is a significant question. Do I feel better or more outraged after I watch it? Number two. Stop spending so much time on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, or whatever else you rot away the time with that God has given you, right? Just stop it, right? These sites are poison. They intentionally show you things to keep you online longer. I don't know if you knew that, they do, right? These companies don't care about you. Elon Musk doesn't care about you. Brilliant as he is, doesn't care about you, right? Not one bit, right? These people don't care about connecting you to your friends and family. They care about taking your information. They do, that's all they care about, right? All of your, you know, likes or thumbs up or whatever, you know, all of the things that you have viewed, right? And you know what they do with it? One of two things. They either sell it to other companies or they use it to sell you stuff, right? They profit from and use against you your own inclination to mammon lust. Now, how about that? Right. Also, these sites, if you didn't know it, these sites are thoroughly infiltrated by predators, right? About 30% of Twitter accounts are bots, right? At least 30%. They're fake. They are fake. Right? They are robots. They are computers, right? I can't tell you, like, how many duplicate profiles I have from many of you guys in my Facebook, like, account where you see your friend request stuff, like, that I know it's not you, right? I know it's not you. But they are duplicate accounts that have been set up, duplicate profiles that have replicated your online profile and are stealing your identity, essentially, and pretending to be you, right? Likely Russian and Chinese, by the way. There are better, there are healthier, more human ways to connect with your family and your real friends. My advice is stop the mindless scrolling. Stop it. Learn to be alone sometimes with nothing in front of you, right? You don't need something in front of you all the time. Learn to be alone. You won't learn who you are otherwise. It's good for you to be alone. And then seek out real companionship, real friendship that doesn't involve disembodied relationships through a screen. Third and last, and I'll get off my soapbox here. Organize your leisure time in a way that it's healthy to you, right? That it solidifies you, that it strengthens you, and away from screens. Right? Make something with your hands. Right? Go see a friend. Go see a brother in Christ. Right? Play music, for goodness sake. Do something beautiful. Go for a walk. Right? Bake some bread. Read the Bible. Right? Read the Bible. Just do it. Just do it. Right? These strategies, they're not going to remove all temptation from your life. They're just simply not. The devil is clever, and he will meet you where you are, right? He'll find you. He'll tempt you with pharisaical self-righteousness and boasting over others. But why do we need to make it so easy for him? These strategies aren't going to free you from the misbehavior and the sins of other people either. But why set yourself up for all of them, right? All of the false friends, all of the bots, right? Why set yourself up for outrage? Why not be in control of what you consume, of what is before your eyes? And instead of just randomly, you know, scrolling up over, over, over. Why not you be in control of that instead of Mark Zuckerberg? Elon Musk, Rupert Murdoch, or Ted Turner. Being angry and outraged all of the time, right? Thinking that you're surrounded by fools at every turn and judging people by two words on a bumper sticker. Even if it is that stupid coexist one that gets me every time. I hate that one, right? I hate it. That is not the behavior of Christians. It's not the behavior of the followers of Christ. It's not that which we have been called to by Jesus himself, who said to each of us, come. It's not in any way satisfying, nor is it enjoying the Sabbath for what it is, which is a gift from Christ. I mean, we've received the greatest joy and mercy and forgiveness that the world has ever known. I mean, have we not? Have we not? So what now? Should I go and pick apart and become outraged at every single weakness of my brother? I sure hope. This is self-righteousness. This is of the Pharisees, of the demons. Our Lord Jesus Christ has come in humility, and he has come in lowliness. Do not forget that. Right? Despite our sins, despite our disobedience, is he not long-suffering and patient and kind with us? He bears with us in love and calls us out of the midst of the Pharisees, away from cancel culture and all of its instantiations. He calls us away from outrage, constant outrage, and wrath and self-righteousness, and posturing for more likes on Instagram and Facebook and whatever else, so that everyone can see the nice little false picture that I've painted and be envious of me and my life when it's all just a lie. He knows exactly who and what we are. We are not fooling him at all. And you know what? He still loves us. He still wants us. What more could you need? What more could the Christian people need than their Lord's love? So examine yourself. Take a good look. And ask for forgiveness. Come to confession. Make use of the means of grace that he's given to you. Take the steps that you need to take to order your life in a holy way, a way that is different than the rest of the world, a way that guards your heart and guards your family. Order your life to where you actually come to the Holy Eucharist, where Christ, your true Sabbath rest, is present for you, comes to dwell with you bodily. In all things, beloved of the Lord, Christ is moved not by our failure, not by our sin, not by our transgression. He is moved by his compassion. He loves the Pharisees and he loves you, even laying down his life to declare sick, crippled men well, and dead sinners righteous and alive. At the end, on the last day, our souls will be reunited with their bodies, and we will be resurrected. We will be gathered in with all of the saints in light. All of those who died in the faith, our forefathers, our fathers, our mothers, our sisters, our brothers, our friends, and our co-workers. All of them sinners who have met with the gospel of Jesus Christ and returned to the Lord, clinging to him only. And this merciful Sabbath healer, this Lord of the Sabbath, will call out to you with the same summons of the gospel that we have today. Come. In Jesus' name.